We continue our sermon series, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. We're going to look today. We're going to spend most of our time on verse 3, but we're going to cover verse 1 through 9, okay? Let's stand. And we stand in respect and honor of the Word of God. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call upon you today, asking for your guidance as we look into your words. Lord, you know what's needed in every heart and life present. Open hearts to receive your word, that it may change lives, that it may draw all men to you, that the lost will hear the message of salvation and respond, that the saved will hear you speak to them individually and be drawn near to you. Lord, we lay this message, this service at your feet. Do as it pleases you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you know, I told you last week I grew up on the farm. Would not trade that experience for anything. I think it was very good for me. You see, every year during farming season, when spring would come, guess what we did? We worked. We quit. We didn't quit until fall when harvest was over. But it was a good life. Now, recall, in the process of farming every year, inevitably, we would be out there plowing the fields and something would break down. Now, if you've ever spent any time on a farm, you all know how we love breakdowns, right? Being left out in the middle of the field, no tools, no nothing, you're just, and you can't move and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you just wait for somebody to come by. See, that was before we had cell phones. I know, it's so long ago. But one thing, one breakdown that I hated. If you've ever spent much time on a tractor, you know that as you're plowing in the field, your plow is lifted via hydraulics, right? So if you're disking a field, plowing a field, you get to the end of the field, you pull back on a handle and it lifts your plow. You make the loop and you turn around, get straightened up, and you push that handle back down, it drops the plow. Well, every once in a while, you'd be out there in the field and you would pull back on that handle to lift up the plow, and you'd look behind you and hydraulic fluid was blowing and going everywhere. It was the most nasty mess that you could possibly have out there in the middle of a dusty field. You see, the hydraulic oil would go all over the disc, the back of the tractor, and if you had tractors like I grew up with, there were no cabs, it would even blow back on you. And it was hot. Multiple times have I been left out in the middle of the field with a busted hydraulic hose and no way to fix it. But had I taken just a few moments before I started, there were always telltale signs that you were going to have a hydraulic hose blow up on you. You see, it would set on the equipment you were pulling, and over time it would rub, and it would rub a hole in that hydraulic line. Or right where you would connect that hydraulic hose into the tractor, over time the line would fray, and over time it'd blow up there, you know. You always looked at that stuff. If there was an oil, hydraulic oil leak around that hose, you fixed it. If there was a worn spot on that hose, you fixed it. Because you did not want that nasty job out in the middle of the field with no tools and hydraulic fluid sprayed all over everything. You know, if we would, as a church today, just occasionally do inspections, it would save us a lot of trouble. You know? As Paul is writing this, that's what I'm going to challenge you to do today. And I'm going to challenge you from this perspective. Don't look at everybody else. Don't look at anybody else. Look at you. All right? Do a self-inspection. Because if we don't take care of the three things we're discussing today, we will be left in the middle of God's field ineffective. So today, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I carnal? Now, most people think of the subject of being carnal as just terrible, ugly wickedness, but it actually means following the nature of the world, or thinking like the world, if you will. Thinking and acting like the world would act. And there are some warning signs that will tell us, are we carnal? And those warning signs, what we're going to discuss today, is number one, the warning sign of envy. You know what envy is. Envy is jealousy. Resentment against a person that is enjoying success. You look at that person, it just burns you up that they're being successful and you're not. I ask you the question, first question today, can you look at others and rejoice in their blessings while you yourself are not being blessed? Can you do that? If not, if you cannot do that, if you spend your time looking at others and saying, I don't know why they're doing so well or they're being so blessed, or if you look at them from that point of view, understand this, you are carnal. And I say that lovingly. You see, we're kind of sucked into this mentality in today's culture. Everything on TV, in our society, signs, billboards, commercials, everything has the design of making you dissatisfied with where you are. I mean, let's face it, it's called marketing. And it's the job of companies to make you desire something more than you currently have. Each year, I'm amused at the new products that come out. Oh, the new cars. Every year, you know, they have a 22 or year model 22 or 2021 car. And you may have last year's model, but you don't have this year's model. And this year's model is always better. They do the same thing in the golf industry. Y'all know, again, I enjoy playing golf. But every year, they come out with new clubs. And the new clubs
will help you to hit it farther and straighter than you have ever been able to hit that golf ball before. And you look and you think, I need that. You see, you may have good stuff, but it's not good enough if you don't have this year's model. And you look at others that have this year's model and know they have something you don't have, and it gets up against your, you know, just kind of rubs you the wrong way. Here's what I want you to understand. That mentality, that envy or jealousy, if you will rob you of the joy that you have in Jesus. It will rob you. I mean, you just look at the current culture. We live in a culture that has more than we've ever had, and we live in a culture that is more dissatisfied than we've ever been. Oh, listen, if I can't rejoice in the blessings that I'm given, and the blessings that other people are given, yes, I'm carnal. And like I said, you know, we're being trapped. We're geared. Everything we see brings us to that I want mentality. So how do you fix it? How do you fix it? How do you prevent it? You ready? No? Let me know when you're ready, okay? Quit looking at other people. Quit looking at Facebook. I always love the lady, and I understand, you know, I always love the lady that gets on Facebook and says, I'm married to the greatest man in the world. I also find it interesting when I'm marriage counseling that couple the next week. What I want you to start, the starting point here that I want you to realize. Look at what God has given you. Okay? Look at your blessings. Count your blessings. Do not look at everybody else. Because we as we sit here today, I want you to just stop and realize you are blessed. As an individual, God has been good to you. Let's count some blessings. Me personally, I have a wife that is just right for me. You know? I'm not going to sit here and... Well, suffice it to say, she's the only one in the world that put up with me. Okay? But she's not just my wife. She's a blessing from God. I have kids. Now, my kids aren't perfect. They don't do everything I tell them to do. But they're still my kids, and I love them. And they're a blessing. I have grandkids. Ooh, grandkids are good. Man, I love that. They're a blessing from God. You know what else I have? I have a church family that I think is the best in the world. It blesses my very soul to worship with you. It blesses my heart every week to see you. And it blesses me to get before you and present the Word of God. I am blessed. I don't go hungry, you can tell that. I have friends that are dear to me. There's a roof over my head. Shoes on my feet. Man, I'm blessed. You can't let our culture determine your joy. Let your Savior determine your joy. Okay? Number one, watch out for envy. Where you look at other people and envy blessings that they have. Number two, warning sign number two, watch out for strife. You see, envy, Paul kind of builds the case. It leads first, it starts with envy, then it leads to strife. Now, of course, strife is a disagreement that's marked by a break in friendly relations. I want to say that again because I want you to understand. Strife is a disagreement that is marked by a break in friendly relations. Listen, I love this church. But there will be disagreements in this church. You can do better than that. I want you to get this. There will be disagreements in this church. Amen. A little stronger. I want you to get it. There will be disagreements in this church. There we go. You understand, right? That doctrinally, we're all on the same page. But opinion-wise, everybody has one. And they don't always agree. Do not allow differences of opinion to damage your relationship with your church family. Never. You see, there are many in churches today that quite frankly, if they don't get their way, they will take their toys and go home. No, you don't understand. You're missing a blessing. And it's usually over something that has no eternal value. You know, in business meeting, church will vote to do one thing, and the preacher, he didn't want to do that, so he gets all huffy. Well, they're not following my leadership. Well, get over it, preacher. Get over it. Not just for preachers, for church members. You think the church needed to do this, and they voted to have blue carpet instead of red carpet? Yeah, get over it. If it does not have eternal consequences, it does not matter. Isn't that great? Listen, if I can't disagree with you without damaging our relationship, I am carnal. Okay? You understand. Well, Brother Doug, what do you do? How do you get over it? Man, there's some things that the church has voted to do in the past I'm just wholeheartedly against. How do you get over it? Are you ready? Agree to disagree. Listen, there are some things that I stand hard and fast on. Salvation by grace through faith. Not a word. I'm not moving on that one. Okay? If we're not on the same page there, we're not on the same page. I can't compromise. But if you want to rearrange the furniture and I don't like your rearrangement, I just need to get over it. That doesn't matter, does it? We won't always see eye to eye. Right now, some of you are thinking, boy, I wonder what's going on, Brother Doug. He knows something that... No. We're doing the inspection. Okay? So we don't get left out in the middle of the field. And if you as an individual are having these feelings, we need to back up and repent. So we don't get caught out. Just stop at this point and realize how enjoyable it is to be in a church that is not fighting. That's one thing I really appreciate at Victory. Okay? So far since I've been here, you know, we can agree to disagree and I can have my opinion, you can have yours, and you know, we can vote our whatever we want in business meeting. But it's always come down to that point of, okay, I don't agree with you, but I agree to disagree and I'm going to love you anyway. And I appreciate and I love that about you. Thank you so much for having that mentality. And I want you to understand how precious that is. Okay? Psalms 133:1 says, "Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, when you walk in that door,
And I've heard it time after time after time, and I've told you this time after time after time. I get the same thing. Well, there's something about that church. You can just feel the love. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let anything get in front of that or hinder that love. I love you. And we may not always have the same opinion. But if it has no eternal consequences, friends, it's not a big deal. Keep that in mind as we move into the future. Warning sign number 3. Division. Again, back in verse 3. Where there's envy, there's strife and division. This church at Corinth had a problem. Right? They let it go too far. It starts with envy. It progresses to strife. And it will end in division. Division is separation caused by difference in opinion, feeling, or disagreement. See, the carnal mind seems to crave division. It's where you get to that point where communication has broken down and there's only ill feelings. And when you come into church, you know it's them and against them. Oh, no. Listen, we can't plant, we can't water, we can't grow, we can't do anything if there's division in God's family. Okay? Here's what you have to understand, and I'm so thankful Paul brought this up. Verse 8. Paul said, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one." Are one. Here's what we have to understand. Did you know that me and Brother Michael are one? Did you know that me and Brother Kelly are one? Me and Brother Ken are one? We all have very different jobs and different callings. But it's all for the same ultimate goal, and that's to the glory of God. You see? And that's the way we have to view one another. There's one common goal among us, and that is to make disciples. You know? We're told in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Go! Make disciples. That's our goal. We cannot accomplish that task if we are divided. You know why? Because our attention will be on the division instead of the Savior. So how do you fix it? How do you fix it? Well, here's how you fix division. Matthew 18:15. If you've been wronged by a brother, here's how to do it. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother." If I know somebody's got a beef with me, I'm aware of it, then I need to go say, "Look, I know you're upset with me, and let's work this thing out." Here we go. Let's keep on going. If you know a brother has something against you, or he has wronged you, Matthew 5:23. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift. One interesting fact about both of those cases. One's when I know I've offended somebody, and another is when somebody has offended me. You know what the action is in both cases? I'm supposed to go to the brother. Just me and the brother. I'm not supposed to go to Beth and say, "Beth, do you know what Michael did to me?"
No. At this point, it's not Beth's concern.
But Brother Doug, she's your wife.
Yeah, but this is my problem between me and Brother Michael.
Me and Brother Michael don't have a problem, okay? I'm using this for example. I love him so very much. He does a wonderful job.
But see, what I'm trying to... As Christians, we're very quick to somebody offending me. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to gather up my army. You know what he did to me? Why, he didn't shake my hand today. He didn't shake your hand. Oh my goodness, that's just like him. He always hi-hats me too. He never speaks to me. And you tell two or three and it spreads. And the first thing you know, everybody knows that you're upset with the brother. And they love you, so they're going to support you. You're wrong. I'm going to say that again. You're wrong. I'm going to say it again. You're wrong. If you run, tell everybody else about an offense that a brother has committed against you, and you do not go to that brother, you are wrong. And here's what will happen. It will eat you up inside. If you don't go talk to that brother or that sister, every time you see that brother or sister, it comes back. And it comes back. And it comes back. And it comes back. And it gets worse every time. And you look at them and you think, wow, they're just acting like they never did anything to me. When in reality, they don't even have a clue you're upset with them. Point. God's people cannot afford to be divided. It will hamper the progression of the church. If I cannot say I'm sorry or forgive another when they say that they're sorry, I am being carnal and thinking like the world. Let me tell you, I'm excited about this sermon series of sowing and reaping, because I think that's where we are as a church. I think we're just getting started. And God is good and He's blessing the church and things are happening. And I'm going to share some things tonight. And you know, last Sunday night I encouraged our people to show some acts of kindness and love within our community. And then email me and tell me about it. And I'm going to share some of that tonight. I'm not going to call any names. So if you're worried about that, I'm not going to reveal who you are. But I'm telling you, I'm excited. Good things are going on. But this morning has been about, hey, let's do a checkup. Let's do an inspection. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. No. I'm saying, you look at yourself. You see, that's what Paul's doing here. He's reminding the folks at Corinth, you're the only one that can take care of these problems. Because if you don't take care of these problems, what happens is when you get out there working for the Lord, it all blows up. Okay? You say, oh no, I won't let that happen, Brother Doug. Yes, you will. I promise you, sometimes you can't prevent it. I don't know how many's the time I was out there in the field. I was thinking, boy, yeah, it'd be all right. I can make it through. This hydraulic hose is not going to blow up on me. Sure enough, halfway through the process, it's very important that we take a look today. That you take a look. Look at verse 9 with me in closing. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Paul's talking about himself and Apollos when he says we're God's fellow workers and you, the church at Corinth, are God's field. You understand you are God's field? And God wants to produce a bumper crop through you. For Him to do that, you're going to have to be in the position of growing. You know? You're going to have to be in a position of growing. I'm going to have to be in a position of growing. Envy, strife, and division are all weeds that we cannot allow to rob our joy. You know, I'm kind of in a new mentality. Of course, y'all may have noticed that. There's a little difference in me since I come back off vacation. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see God move in fantastic ways. And I believe He is. I believe He's already started. Did you notice? Have you noticed our attendance lately? It's getting better. Thank you all. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Look around you. See the blessings. God is working. Okay? Do not give Satan a foothold in your life. Don't harbor envy and strife and division. Don't do it. Don't do it. God has better for us. You may be here today, and you're a child of God, and this message has kind of struck a chord. You need to take care of something. You know, there's a grudge that's went on for a long time. Oh my goodness. You've been faking it for a long time. But the reality is, it's there. Let's lay it to rest today. Are you listening? Let's get rid of it today. Lay it down. If it's such a grudge that you've got to go talk to somebody, go talk to somebody. But get rid of it. Don't walk out of here without taking care of that. You may be here today and you're just in that festering process, that envy. You know, I promise you this, you never stay there. It grows. Take care of it today. And don't get me wrong, you don't have to run to tell and confront people about every little thing. Back to the, he didn't shake my hand or he didn't speak to me. Don't let stuff like that go. Okay? That's not important. But if you've truly been wronged, take care of it today. Because behold, fields are white under harvest. God is moving. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, let me tell you the wonderful story of salvation. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. You're a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Because of your sin, now you've got to deal with that sin. That's what Jesus did. He took your punishment to the cross of Calvary. So, beloved friends, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me plead with you. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and you're going to spend eternity in one of those two. And it will be determined by what you do with Jesus. Today, will you come to Jesus for salvation, forgiveness? If you reject Him, make no mistake, hell is your home. That's where you're headed. But if you come today to receive Jesus Christ, then you have the assurance of knowing that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Whatever your need is here today, maybe you just need to come to the altar to let go of some things from the past. Whatever it is, time for you to do business with God. Heavenly Father, we love You, Lord. Oh, we thank You for Your Word. As we look into Your Word, Lord, we're convicted of those old grudges
things that we've held inside for so long. Lord, I pray that if there are those that are carrying those grudges, that today they'd resolve them. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone who is approached today about something of the past, that they would receive. That they would receive, Lord, that person. And if they've offended, Lord, apologize. Father, I pray that as we move forward, we'll have the heart to take an honest look so that these things do not crop up as the church moves forward. Oh, Lord, there's much work to be done. A lot of sowing. A lot of watering. Help us, Lord, to be in a position to sow, to reap. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?